Welcome, everyone, to Commerce Experience. I'm your host, Brian Walker, Chief Strategy Officer at Bloomreach. Today, we focus on one of the hottest topics in our industry and, frankly, beyond, generative AI. But more specific, what will the impact of large language models and generative AI be on digital commerce? Many have commented that generative AI may be the most significant innovation to impact human culture and commerce since the iPhone launched in 2007, or for that matter, maybe the internet itself. Frankly, I don't think that's overstating it. If you've played at all with ChatGPT, DALL-E, Midjourney, or the host of competing writing and design tools that have launched recently, you've probably reached a similar conclusion. Generative AI is going to have a massive impact on many, many industries and aspects of our lives. There will likely be both very good and very bad that come from it, just as have come from every other major human innovation. What makes this so compelling, so big for digital commerce, is that this transformation will be both inside and out, meaning both in the back office, how e-commerce operations and content are produced, and within the customer experience, how customers engage, how they discover products, how they work with brands and retailers online. To get some additional perspective, I reached out to Raj Dadada, founder and CEO of Bloomreach, to get his perspective.
Indeed, AI has been around in many ways from a research perspective since the 1960s. The seminal moment when everybody woke up to it was really when, in chess, as we thought about AlphaGo, all of a sudden the machine was beating the human, which many people thought was never possible. We crossed over that threshold now many years ago. Specifically in commerce and marketing, we and other companies have been really using AI in a kind of reinforced learning context. For example, more revenue or more on-point personalized experiences. We're the first to really take that machine learning paradigm and apply it to search. So now ChatGPT comes along, or OpenAI comes along and says, we'll just ingest the whole internet, learn it all, figure it out. And if you give me a word, I'm going to predict the word that comes after that. And now all of a sudden, a new wave of innovation in generative AI is born. I think one of the most interesting things about these seminal technology shifts is they indeed create a new set of players, but they don't disrupt everybody. I think a good thought experiment, if we use just mobile as an example, you know, mobile didn't disrupt Apple. Mobile didn't disrupt Salesforce. Mobile didn't disrupt Google. Mobile didn't disrupt Facebook. These were all companies that existed prior to mobile, right? And it's because when something is such a tidal wave, then everybody has urgency to get behind it. And that's what we're going to see among a lot of large tech players is Microsoft's going to have their Gen AI strategy, and Google's going to have their Gen AI strategy, and Bloomreach is going to have its Gen AI strategy, and Salesforce is going to have its Gen AI strategy. I think the thing that's going to happen is going to happen in two or three places that are highly disruptive. The first is in the infrastructure space. So the infrastructure to create generative AI powered applications are pretty disruptive. And so I think what we're going to see is that the dev environments that I use are going to need to evolve incredibly fast. And we're going to see a whole new layer of development infrastructure get built that probably will run on top of GCP and AWS and other such cloud infrastructure, but it will be a whole new layer. And they'll be the next new snowflake that gets created out of this class of Gen AI. And then I think that there will be net new applications that we couldn't envision before. So again, when mobile came along, what did happen is Uber was born, Airbnb was born, a bunch of new businesses that were not really possible. You couldn't really disrupt the taxi industry pre-mobile phone in quite the same way as Uber was able to do after. The final point to say about this is it's pretty hard to be a Gen AI application in 2023. And the reason why is because Gen AI at its root, if what you're doing is you create, to use an example in commerce, a brand new search engine that happens to use Gen AI APIs and calls OpenAI and summarizes information and gives it back, that actually has no moat whatsoever. It's pretty easy to do that using the APIs that the clouds will commoditize and put on top. What's actually hard is to create a distinguished healthcare shopping experience or a distinguished shopping experience, because to do that, you have to take proprietary data and train the LLMs to go make that happen. And who has that data? Well, people like Bloomreach and people like Google and people like Amazon have the training data to prevent the kind of hallucinations that you would get from open source clouds, and startups don't. So in a weird way, Gen AI makes it pretty hard if you don't have a lot of proprietary data to distinguish yourself in the application domain.
Now let's look deeper at how generative AI will unlock a huge barrier that we've faced in digital commerce, and that is executing on personalization. This is something we've been working on now for decades. And much has been said about how critical customer data is to enabling the power of personalization, including myself. That has, of course, driven hundreds of millions of dollars in software and services that businesses have spent to implement personalization solutions, customer data platforms, data lakes, and bespoke analytics applications, often on top of massive cloud data storage and application environments.
We basically had two different eras of personalization, let's call it digitally. The first era was simply broadcast-based, you know, personalization of some kind, which is sort of like people who viewed this bought this. And cohorts of customers that are similar to each other learning from those cohorts to inform recommendations on a different set of people. And that's been the first generation of personalization. A lot of what Bloomreach has done is take it to the next level and really use first-party customer data and deeply understand who you are as a person, and then match that to what message is shown, what product is shown, what experience you get online. And Bloomreach has been at the forefront of doing that, but that is still one way in terms of its personalization. It's still understanding who you are and sending you a targeted email message, giving you a targeted search result, presenting you with a targeted piece of content. The next era of personalization, we believe, is going to be conversation. It's going to be two-way. So not only am I going to understand who you are, but I'm going to have a conversation with you with knowledge of who you are, and we're going to go back and forth to help you meet your needs. And that is where I think personalization goes. So it's sort of like the future of personalization is conversational. It will rely on the building blocks of the data of similar people. It will rely on a knowledge of who you are, but it will also enable a two-way interaction to guide you to a series of purchases and experiences that it can only understand because it's having a conversation.
The finer grained your segmentation and the more advanced the personalization goals you have, the more content you need. Most e-commerce businesses, frankly, struggle to get just one version of everything done in time with the resources they have and can afford. For example, even with Bloomreach, many customers are limited in how far they can take their personalization goals given the lack of content asset variations beyond just products. And of course, the power of personalization is all the hidden pockets of opportunity that humans will struggle to identify and test, whereas modern machine learning applications like Bloomreach and others can. Even with the most powerful AI, often what personalization can effectively be applied to is just products today. Generative AI opens up a huge opportunity for us to create multiple content variations, identifying ways in which we can target different segments and groups, put products on models and in lifestyle settings that connect more effectively with customers. Here I turn to another Bloomreacher, Anirban Bardalay.
About a month ago, I was in the market for a pair of running shoes. I go to the store and I talk to the sales rep and I tell him that, hey, I'm looking for running shoes. I see my neighbor wearing Hokas, a really nice thick sole. I have bad knees. Can I get Hokas? And the guy says, great. And he hooks me up with the Hokas. And then he asks me, how are you going to use it? And I said, well, I use running. And he's like, are you a long distance runner? I was like, no, I hardly run like 2 miles, right? And then he goes, well, these are not the right shoes for you. What do you do? I said, well, I like to work out at the gym more so than running outside. Then he immediately points me to this other shoes and tells me why the other shoes is better for running, but is also good for all of the different things that I'm looking for. Now, why am I telling you this story? This is an experience that you and I are used to when we go to the stores. And now with generative AI, we finally have an option where we can offer the same kind of experience in a digital way. That's the part that I'm super excited about. That's the part where I do fundamentally think that commerce is going to change because of generative AI. So when you think about the personalization challenges that our customers face today, there are two classes. One is identification of the segments, and the second one is around personalized content. The identification of the segments is not a large language model problem. That's a problem that we have already answered, but it is definitely an AI problem that we are answering, essentially allowing our customers to figure out what segments that they should be using for personalization. That's problem number one. Where LLM comes into play on personalization is great. You have all of these different segments. You want to show personalized content. But can you generate enough of the personalized content today? Extremely manual, extremely expensive. And that I do think that generative AI will play a big role in solving.
We're on the edge of something big, the future of AI-powered e-commerce. Join us this August, along with fellow industry leaders in digital commerce and AI, for live conversations about what e-commerce can achieve in a symbiotic future with AI. We'll talk about how AI fits into your business today, tomorrow, and for the limitless future ahead. In short, 2 days of thought-provoking conversation, perspective-shifting keynotes and sessions, and endless opportunities for growth. Connect with Bloomreach on your favorite social channel to learn more and watch live.
The way we search for information and products online is set to change forever. Google's launch in the late 1990s revolutionized online search with its innovative PageRank algorithm, user-friendly interface, and speed, quickly outpacing competitors like Yahoo, AltaVista, and Microsoft's Bing. This dramatically changed the landscape of how people found information and, of course, of online advertising. In e-commerce, Amazon further reinforced this pattern, initially partnering with Google in 2000 to enhance its search capabilities, and then coming to dominate product search online through their superior experience and the size of their assortment, supported by their marketplace strategy. Through their dominance, Google and Amazon established a search paradigm that we still very much use today, though the Google and Amazon experiences have degraded due to ad clutter, misleading information, and commercial bias. This creates an opportunity for a new, more streamlined experience to supplant the existing ways we search for and discover information and products online. Meanwhile, voice assistants like Siri, Alexa, and Google Assistant have introduced a hands-free, conversational approach to information discovery. But their impact on e-commerce and, frankly, information search has still today been relatively modest. This landscape, however, is on the brink of significant change. With ChatGPT and other solutions like it, consumers will become increasingly comfortable having conversations with digital systems that feel more efficient and personalized than what they've experienced before. Here I reached out to Paul Edwards, who's been leading Bloomreach Labs, to get his point of view on this.
The challenge of commerce has been the same through the years, right? It's like putting the thing that a person wants to see in front of them at that right point in the time when they want to buy it. Generative AI impacts the commerce experience by changing the way that people interact with technology as a whole. So there used to be a box, you typed in that box trousers and you got some trousers back. Now you talk about, like, I want to go out and I'm thinking I might go to this kind of place and this is my style, and you're starting to see the things that are associated with that. So that's a kind of, it's a different experience. One of them, you know exactly what you're looking for. And the other one, you kind of think about the thing you're trying to do rather than the thing that you're looking for.
Up to this point, the examples we've been talking about and kind of the context we've been focused on has been on consumer-focused e-commerce. But now I believe we're on the cusp of a revolution in how B2B e-commerce works as well. We'll see buyers wanting to interact with an expert system that can help them find the right products and services for the applications they need, especially in complex considered purchases where today they may still engage with a human, expecting that that human being can help them navigate all the various choices and provide that expertise. But for a human to provide that level of capability requires years of training and lots of study. So in the future, you'll see some of that transition to generative AI-based systems that will act as an assistant to the buyer, reinforcing the purchase decisions that they're making and making sure they're finding the right product for their needs.
The experience will give us the ability to hold a relationship between the shopper and the brand. And that's, I think, going to be key. That's where the winning and the losing is going to be, actually, is in that relationship between shopper and brand, how we control it and how we de-risk it.
ChatGPT, Midjourney, and the host of other solutions we see today are generalized first-generation solutions. But in the near future, we're likely to see vertical-specific Gen AI tools appear from the existing landscape of solution providers, as well as perhaps a whole new set of market entrants, including agencies and consultancies eager to support bespoke model and application development. I foresee in the near future applications that are vertically tuned to commerce and marketing that will use generative AI to create content at scale that can be used in personalization, that will bring expertise and knowledge to bear inside the experience, and turn what has become an expected but perhaps somewhat stale experience into a conversation. This will impact the online experience, the mobile experience, and also lead to new channels of engagement that may become commonplace, helpful, or maybe even far more delightful and engaging than what we've become used to. For example, interactive TV, which today may seem like a laborious and not very useful tool to shop, may become a very compelling way in which you can engage an expert online system to discover products, navigate assortments, gain information, and gain confidence in what you're buying. Exploring an assortment, exploring a lifestyle through your television, engaging with an expert system may become very compelling, very useful, and a very valuable new channel. So-called spatial computing may also become another interface to have these kinds of experiences for consumers and may become a very critical channel, especially for lifestyle brands and luxury brands looking to engage their customers in a way that they haven't been able to do before online. And these systems and these types of experiences will also extend in-store. Today, many of us may feel frustrated as we engage an in-store associate who doesn't seem as knowledgeable as we may be about the products that we're interested in buying. Using these kinds of tools in-store may also become commonplace, a way for us to engage an expert that has total visibility into the assortment and expert knowledge into the products and applications that we're trying to solve for may become more useful than even engaging sales associates in a store. All of this opens up new ways for consumers to explore, discover, engage, and buy online, and will further advance the digitization of shopping, an experience that will have its positives and perhaps its downsides as well. It's hard to cover such a huge topic like this one in one episode, and no doubt we'll be talking about this for many years to come. But I hope this gave you some context and things to think about when you think about how generative AI will impact digital commerce. For more, I encourage you to attend the Edge Summit, August 24th and 25th, 2023. There will be a wonderful in-person event in Napa where industry leaders will convene to explore the implications of generative AI on e-commerce and digital marketing specifically, along with a digital live stream I'll be hosting with many conversations on the edges of what we can expect and anticipate. I would love for you to join us there either in person or online. With that, thank you so much for joining us here today and exploring this topic with us. Be safe, be well. Here's to good business.